there. And every night at the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission, they do a chapel every night. And so they have different people come in and do the chapel. So last night, Ben and I went and did the chapel. There was probably 30, 40 people in there. And I taught on Colossians 3, and I just wasn't having a peace about doing it again. I just felt led by the Spirit. Let's go. We're in the same book, but let's go to this passage and let's just kind of tear it up together. So the slide up there says Colossians 3. We're not in Colossians 3. We're in Colossians chapter 1. Okay, so that slide is not correct for those of you at home watching as well. So we're in Colossians 1. So I've been doing this, we've done this a couple times now. You guys are probably getting tired of me because I'm in here a lot now, it seems like. Pastor is teaching the youth tonight. It was on the schedule for him to teach. We're walking through the book of Ephesians verse by verse over with the youth group, and he was up to teach next. I think that's very healthy when you have your senior pastor going and teach the youth. It's scriptural, it's biblical. The older will teach the younger. So he's in there tonight, even though it's been a while since you've seen him. So I'm here again. Sorry in advance. But the good thing is that we're all getting into the scripture tonight. We're gonna tear it up together. So this is going to be very low-key, kind of relaxed. If you have something to say, raise your hand, say it. It's going to be very interactive as best as possible. And we're just going to go through this text together. But like I said, I've done this a couple times where we print it out, and it's right in front of you, the text. You have a pen, and I borrow words from Andrew. Andrew does this. I do this. This is my process before I teach any, ever. I take the text, I put it in a PowerPoint, and I have my little pen, and I just go through and I mark it up. What am I seeing? What is God showing me here in this text? What does the author intend here? And so Andrew calls it tearing up the text. I like that name, so let's use it and let's do it. But the first thing we're going to do is just read this once, maybe twice to yourself, so you can kind of get a grip of what's going on here. So let's do that now. Let's just go ahead and read it in our heads to ourselves. Let's take a couple minutes to do that. All right, let me pray for us. God, we plead with you right now that you would show us the marvelous things that are in your word. Help us open the eyes of our hearts so we can see. Lord, we love your word. We want to know it. We want to hide it in our hearts. Help us do that now as we dissect it. And as we look for the meaning, as we see your beauty through it, and as we learn more about you because of it. Help us, Lord. We need your strength. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. I'm going to read it, even though we just did. You can never read it too many times. Okay, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So as we kind of go verse by verse through this, it's very important that we get to the very first word of this section and figure out who he is. So I'm going to circle he, and I think based upon the context, I can decide who he is. What are we thinking? Who is he? Yes. So I'm going to write Christ up there. Mankind? I think no. Oh, yeah, that's good. We are made in his image. But based upon the other he's and the his's and the him's, I think we're definitely speaking about Christ here. But that is a good point. We are made in the image of God. I read this a few times before you guys came in. So we start out with Christ, and it says, he is the image of the invisible God. So I'm underlining invisible. What does that mean? If something is invisible, you can't see it. So if something is invisible, you need an image of that. If you have an image, you know what it looks like. So I'm drawing an arrow back from invisible to image. And we see that Christ is the image, circling image, of the invisible God. And we know this from other places in the Bible. We know that in Matthew 1, when Christ comes, it says his name is, what is his name? Emmanuel, right? It says his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So we know that Christ is the image of the invisible God. We cannot see God, right? It says, invisible, unless we look at Christ. Christ is the image of the invisible God. So when we read about him in the scriptures, that's what I mean by seeing. When we see him in the scripture, and when the people that were there at that time saw him, they were seeing the image of who God Almighty is. Does that make sense? He is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of all creation. Now, this one is difficult, because when it says firstborn of all creation, that makes me think that Christ was created.
I was just telling Ben that that's what the Jehovah's Witness used this verse to prove that he was created.
Yeah, and that's not right. Right? That's, I think, heresy. I think I can say that confidently. If Christ is created, then he is not the image of the invisible God. Does that make sense? If Christ is created, he's not God. Yeah, Tyson, you got something else?
Just to add to it, is after researching that, it speaks more of his rank. It's like a position.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the fact that he was created, but
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So instead of looking at this and seeing the firstborn, which in the Greek it translates exactly firstborn, so that is the correct word to use there. Instead of seeing this as the firstborn of all creation, like Tyson said, this is the superiority, the rank of where Christ is. He is over top everything, first, right? If someone runs in a race and they get first place, that means they were the best, right? Usually that's what that means. So I'm underlining firstborn, and I'm putting up, I like what Tyson said, rank. So it's not referring to being created of all creation. There is none like him. He's in a category all by himself. And in fact, that's the holiness of God is the attribute, I think, God's most important attribute. It's the only attribute repeated 3 times in a row, holy, 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 right? It's to the superlative degree. No other attribute says that in the Bible. And holiness just means that God is set apart. So I think this is speaking to that there, the firstborn of all creation. All right, that's first verse. We did it. Let's go. 16. For by him, And I'm going to put "by him" in brackets because that's very important. "By" is an exclusive word, I think, in this context, which means no one else. By him and who? Him alone. That's it. So "by him," I'm going to put "exclusive" down there because that's... And then directly after "by him," I see this word "all." And if "by him" is exclusive, then that means all is... Yeah, inclusive, right? All of it. Everything. All inclusive. And it says "all things." All things. So for "by him," and "him" is speaking about who? Jesus. Yeah, so I'm going to circle that and point back to where I wrote "Christ" up here at the top. I'm going to point that back to Christ because that's who it's speaking of. I don't want to lose track of that because there's a lot of "hims" and "his" and "he's" all throughout here. Not all these pronouns. So, for "by him all things were created." And if you remember from language class back in the day, what do you do when you find a verb and you want to diagram it, I guess? I don't know if that's the right word. You underline it, but you underline it more than once, right? You underline it twice, that's right. Thank you. So I'm going to underline "were created." "By him all things were created." And now it's going to describe. Where are these things? Well, there's things in heaven, circling heaven, and things on earth. Yeah. Someone got some? I know. What's that? That's right. Circle. Right. Visible and invisible. I'm circling those two. Go ahead and while you circle those, point those things back to all, because that's what it's including, right? Earth, visible, invisible, heaven. You can go ahead and circle thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. I'm pointing them all back up there. All things. You guys ever heard of C.S. Lewis, my great-grandfather? I'm just kidding. I wish. I wish he was my great-grandfather. Nobody knows his, like, a lot of people don't know his first name, so I always say it's Colin. Colin Lewis. It's not Colin, though. C.S. Lewis was an apologist, and he wrote a lot of Christian literature. The dude was a genius. And one thing I really appreciate about C.S. Lewis is he helps me understand this verse a little bit more. Because I'm seeing all things on earth, visible. Got that. I can see those things, right? See visible. Thrones, I've seen thrones before, at least in pictures. I've seen dominions, seen kingdoms, seen rulers, seen authorities, all these different things. I've seen all these. But what I'm missing is this invisible. I can't see it, so I don't necessarily, it's harder for me to believe it, right? I don't see that. In one of his books, in the Chronicles of Narnia, I think it's The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, they go to this island, and at this island there's this star. That's there. And he's, I think he's called a retired star. He's out of the heavens. He's not up there anymore because he needs to recharge or something. I don't know exactly how it goes. But anyway, he's going back. And I think the cool thing is, in Scripture, there's multiple references to the stars will give God praise, and the stars will do this, and the stars that. And he makes the point that, yes, a star could be a ball of gas, or whatever we talk about in science class, but it could be much more than that. And I thought that was really cool. It helps me see things in a different light, that these things could be much more than what we really think they are, especially since they're mentioned in Scripture. So he's been very helpful on teaching me this verse, what's visible, what's invisible, what I can see and what I can't see. God, Jesus, they were all created by him. That's important. Okay, so thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. We get back to this word again, all. It just points back to those things. Again, all things were created, double underline, through him, I'm bracketing through him, and for him. All things were created through him and for him. We need to see. And one of the things I talked about last night was that Christ is indispensable from our lives as Christians. Okay? You take Christ out of our lives, we're nothing. Hopeless. have gone astray like a sheep. If you take Christ out of the creation process, it doesn't happen, right? That's what this scripture is telling me right here. All things were created through him. So we see that one of the core doctrines we as evangelicals, as Christians, believe is that God is three in one, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. But all three of those are God. He's three in one. And this kind of this concept is like mind-boggling, and I will never understand it completely, and I'm okay with that. Because the same God who is that tells me that his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher than mine. I take a lot of comfort in that verse, knowing that he is much greater. He's not limited to my intelligence, which may be a surprise for some of you, is not very much, right? So if we take him, he's indispensable from this creation here. All things were created through him. And then what's this last one? All things were created for him. What do you think that means? Or how does that play out? Where might we see that somewhere else? He's king, yeah. Yeah. He is supreme overall, yeah. So when you build a palace, it's for the king, right? Yeah. Okay, what else? What else do you think about that? Created through him in this process, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Creating, so it's through Jesus. That in fact shows that he is the image of the invisible God. It shows in fact that he is God, and all these things were created for him. It's his. Yeah. Ownership, yeah. All things, yeah, Kevin, you got them? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good verse. Do you have that verse up right now? Will you read it out loud? Yeah. Yeah, so all of these things, whether they're visible or they're invisible, whether they're thrones or rulers, whether they're animals, whether they're humans, whether they're plants, whether they're anything, all these things that were created to point back to the image of the invisible God. They are for him, for his glory. I mean, that's what our lives are for, right? We were created for the glory of God. So this is very important that we grasp this, because it's very easy to sometimes think things were made for me, right? It's very easy to put ourselves in this position. The Bible is about me. That's not true. Right? The Bible is not about us. The Bible is for us. It's not about us. These things in this earth are not for us. They're for him. They point to something greater. They point to God. So all these things were created for him. That's verse 16. Are we tracking so far? Am I making sense? Am I speaking craziness? Not yet? Okay, good. 17. And, so this verse is connected. I'm putting a box around and because it connects the concept or the thought that was in verse 16 with the concept or the thought that's going to be in verse 17. And he, who's he?
Christ.
Christ. Yeah, we're getting it. Christ is before all things. Here's all things again. It's popping up. This is the third time it's popped up. He is before, not as if he's been created, remember. Like what Tyson said with his rank, he is before. He reigns supreme over all these things. And, another box around and, in him, I'm bracketing that, in him, circling him, that's Christ. In him, circling all things hold together. That's what I was about to ask. I was like, what's a better word for hold together? Sustain. Throw sustain up there. S-U-S-T-A-I-N. That's how you spell that one, right? Sustain. So we have God at the Christ at the beginning. He's indispensable from creating, right? So if you take him out of the creation process, it doesn't happen. So it's through him that this is all being done. And now we're here, everything's created, here we are, we're meeting in this church, and we're still going somehow. Because Christ is still in the process of sustaining. So there's this great verse, Philippians 1:6, speaking about our salvation. He who started a good work in you, God starts the good work, will be faithful to complete it. And in the middle of this, we have start and complete, he's never going to forsake the work of his hands in the middle. So in the same thing, we have creation created, sustained by Christ, held together, he's holding it up, and then we have, it will come to completion at the day of the Lord. And we might see that here in a second. So good, yes, sustain. All right, your paper should have some marks on it now. All right, another and. Connection. We're going to connect some more things. Box in it. And he, circle, Christ, is the head of the body. And before you read the next two words, what is that speaking about?
Us.
Yeah. Us meaning who? Yeah, there we go. He is the head of the body. Why is it important that he's not the foot? That's right. Right, so Paul uses the analogy of the body. He says some are hands, some are arms, some are foot, right? Meaning we're all gifted differently. We all play a different part, but we come together into one body to serve one purpose, to glorify God. But nobody is the head except Christ, the most important. He is the head of the body. So right now we've seen that he is the firstborn of all creation, most important, highest, best. All things were created through him, for him. He is before all things, highest, best. And now we get to the church here. Literally, this is the craziest thing. None of us would be here if God did not bring us together here this night. He has ordained this. He's brought us together. You can't go anywhere else, I don't think, in the world and find people of all different backgrounds and people of all different ages and people of all different ethnicities meeting together for the same goal, the same purpose. You see it in the church, and it's a beautiful thing. And it's because the head of the body, the church, is Christ. I'm pointing back to Christ. You can circle body and that you can point an arrow to church, if that helps you. All right. He, circle, Christ, is the beginning. I'm underlining beginning. The firstborn from the dead. Firstborn from the dead. Now, what are we thinking here? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Firstborn from the dead. What else? Any other thoughts on that? What's that? First fruits. Okay. Explain. Expound. Yeah. What do you mean by first fruits? Okay, I like that. Firstborn from the dead is still not a pointing back to created, right? It's still this place of rank. He's risen from the dead. We know, we read this, and we know already with our biblical knowledge the end of what happens with Christ. After he dies on the cross, he rises from the dead.
But Jesus is the firstborn to be raised and glorified.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's where this is going, I think. And so, yeah, what Tyson said here that we've seen Christ because he has, we'll see the fullness of God in him. He raises people from the dead just so that they would die again. But he rises from the dead to then be glorified, yeah, ascends to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. And I think we're going to get to that in a second here. Yeah. So he's the firstborn from the dead. That is kind of like, so, because. You can throw those words up there if you want. That might help understand how this flows. So, or because in everything, I'm bracketing that, in everything he might, I'm circling he, that's Christ again, might be, double underlined, I think that's a verb, might be preeminent. And I'm circling preeminent, and I have to get a definition of that because I don't know what that means. What does preeminent mean? It's a big word. Fancy word, preeminent. I like that. Most important. Anything else?
Most in authority.
Most in authority. Yes, I like it. What else?
First.
Yeah, first. Again, this idea of being first. So in the Greek, it literally means to be first. That's the word used. And just to give you a little fact, this is cool. This is the only place this word is used in the entire New Testament. It's right here in this verse. One time this word is used. But yes, this idea of being first, reigning supreme, having the highest authority, there is no one that tops this. This is the top. This is where it ends. Another word, yeah, supreme. But to be first is the actual definition. You got something, Tyson? No? Okay. So, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything Christ might be preeminent. Be first. So we've getting all this language of how he's greater, he's better. There's no one like him. For, verse 19, in him, bracketing in him, circling him, that's Christ. All, circling all, the fullness of God, I'm underlining fullness of God, was pleased, double underline, to dwell. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Another pointer, and I mean there's probably been 10 already in this verse, that Jesus is God. And the reason I keep going back to that is because it's so important and so many different people try to attack it. This is the core doctrine of our belief. If Jesus is not God, then we are in a whole mess of trouble right now. Because that means our sins are not paid for. That means that we're dead in our sin. Since Jesus is God, since the fullness of God is in him, since he's preeminent, since he's the firstborn of all creation, since he is all these things, since he is the image of the invisible God, that's good news for us because that means we're saved. Because in this and all that, you take all that and shove it into a little box and you see that, and through him, bracket that, please to dwell, and to reconcile. Circle reconcile to himself, underline himself, and then again, all things. Circling all things. Through him to reconcile. What is reconcile? What are we doing with that word?
Pay all debts.
Okay, yeah. Pay all debts. What else? It's good when we just toss a bunch of definitions. Reconcile.
Restore.
Restore, yeah. It's good.
Set right.
I like all that. Yeah. So through him, circling him, forgot to do that. Sorry, it's Christ.
To make wrong things right.
Yeah. Make wrong things right. That's a good way to say it. Make wrong things right. And in this reconcile, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get there. And to reconcile himself all things, okay? All things, whether they're on the earth, circling earth, or whether they're in heaven, circling heaven. So it's, again, the author here, Paul, is describing that whether you can see it, whether you can't see it, whether it's a throne, whether it's an authority, whether it's on the earth, whether it's in heaven. So he's making sure you know that this all means all, okay? Whether on earth or in heaven, making peace. Yeah, circle peace. And how does this peace come? How does this reconciliation happen? It brings it all together, ties a nice knot with a little bow on it, and I'm bracketing the last 6 words of this by the blood of his, circle his, Christ, by the blood of his cross. So where do we see reconciliation happening? Where do we see peace being made? At the cross. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yes. Yeah. So, yes. So we have all these hymns, he's, his, all these different things pointing to Christ, all these different things, and they're all pointing, and they all come to a culmination or an ending here at the end where it says, by the blood of his cross. And one more, I have, well, maybe a couple more, but one more question. Why is blood necessary? Okay, value is assigned to it. Life. Okay, without the shedding of blood, would you say, Kevin? Without the shedding of blood, you got a reference on that? Because I'm blanking. Hebrews. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This is valuable. It shows that he didn't come and just snap his fingers and make things right. He came and paid the penalty for sin, which is the shedding of his blood on the cross. This is Christ. This is God who we're talking about here. Let me just make sure we covered all our bases. Is your paper marked?
Yep.
Okay, good. You passed. Give yourself an A+ at the top here. Yeah. So all this culminates, all this points to Christ. That was 6 verses talking about how Jesus reigns supreme, how he is preeminent over everything, how there is no higher authority than Christ himself. And though he is the highest authority, though there is no one like him, though he's arrayed in all his splendor and all his glory, we see that he comes to make peace, and he has to do that by dying a criminal's death, being embarrassed, being humiliated on the cross, being mocked, being reviled, being spit on, all these different things, and eventually goes, sheds his blood on the cross to reconcile us back to himself. And not only us, but what? What is he reconciling to himself? Not only us. All things. There's our 2 words that we saw a bunch. All things are being reconciled back to him. Not just things on earth, not just things in heaven, but all things are being reconciled because of the cross and what it means for us. This is good to read your Bible like this. I say that a lot. It's good to take a pen, print it out, mark it up. You learn. I'll go back to the analogy every single time. If you bring a rake to read with you, you're going to get leaves, okay? But if you bring a shovel or a pickaxe and you dig and you search and you say, God, don't let me leave this place until I'm learning or getting something from this passage, you're going to find diamonds, and it's worth it every single time. Every single time. So get in the Word, take some time and just read it like this. Tear up the text. God has showed me so many different things by this. And I hope that you could see some of those things tonight. Good passage of Scripture. Let me pray for us. You guys have any questions before I end? We went a long time. Nope. All right, cool. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that there is no one like you, that you reign supreme, that you are preeminent, that by you all things are created, that we were reconciled because of a bloody cross. So we thank you for this gift of grace, your gift of mercy, this gift of eternal life that we find only in you, and apart from you, we find nothing and we are hopeless. Thank you for your gift of your Son on the cross for us. Help us to be reminded of it. Help us to never forget. Help us to give you thanks. Help us to have a heart of thanksgiving in this. And help us to go from this, take these applications that we find in your Scripture and use them in our lives. We love you, Lord. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. On Sunday, I put a note on this note, Pastor, do not touch. Because last Sunday, I came up here, and these are my announcements at the end, and it was thrown away when I got up here. And it was in the dark announcing things. So he didn't touch that one. All right. That's all I got.